Hi, my name is Laurie. I'm a compulsive reader. Thank you very much for having me. It is important to note that my doing this is part of my Step 12 responsibilities. Now that I have had the miracle of recovery for over 32 years in this program, I must carry the message to others, the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer from an addiction that is similar to mine, related to compulsive eating. If I don't do it, if I don't give away what was so freely given to me, I will not be able to keep what was so freely given to me. And so it is with great responsibility and humility that I embark on this prospect. The topic of being sponsored and sponsoring is an important one to me because I think that my experience in being sponsored and my many experiences of sponsoring and not always succeeding or not always having the person I'm sponsoring succeed have given me a lot of experience in mistakes. And I wanted to sort of share those with you. First of all, let me just say that what is important is that my recovery is measured by the fact that I have not been tempted for over 32 years to return to that which I have identified causes me uncontrollable cravings. And thus, I have achieved the miracle that is guaranteed by this program of the neutrality. I am no longer insane when it comes to giving in to my mind, as it used to happen, giving in to this, oh, you can have some, for whatever of the many insane reasons that my mind had concocted over the years. There have been times, I suppose, when I've been tempted, very, very rarely. I can't imagine, I can remember only one time in particular when I recoiled as from a hot flame, as promised by the big book. But generally speaking, the things that I've given up, the things that I have learned to give up as time goes on with more experience, just aren't on my radar. And I can watch other people indulging in them and saying this is the best I've ever had, and you got to try some, it's free. And I can say, well, I can't have it, but I'm really happy for you. And this is an absolute miracle. You know, I used to talk about how my wife would at one time would go to a fancy restaurant. She ordered one of those big desserts off the rolling table. It was a chocolate dense chocolate thing, and she had a taste. And mother went, "Oh, this is so good!" And she ate a half of it and put her fork down, and said, "I can't have any more. I'll save it for tomorrow." And the miracle to me was that A, I didn't want to try the rest of it. B, I was happy for her that she enjoyed herself. And C, I wasn't angry at her for eating only half, which is completely different from what I used to be like. Now, I was introduced early on. I've been in OA since February the 11th, 1986, more than the 32 years. It'll be almost 39. It'll be 40 years next year. By finding being called by a man, I wanted to have a male a man help me through the steps when I first joined. And he offered to give me a ride to the meeting. And I remember saying, "Well, what? I just tell me where the meeting is. I can go myself." And I didn't realize that that was part of his going as far as he needed to, as far as he could, to help someone who still suffered. And his dedication to my recovery was immense, and I owe him a great deal. I did relapse for 7 years, on and off relapse for 7 years. And out of that relapse came some learning experiences that I want to talk about. What I do in sponsoring is that I never refuse to sponsor, but I set very specific boundaries on what my role is. Sponsoring comes from step 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message that we've had a spiritual awakening as the result of working the 12 steps of Over It Is Anonymous to those who still suffer. That's my job. I must do that. I must do a few other things, but this I must do. And the definition of the spiritual awakening is given in step two, and also in the appendix in the big book on spiritual experience. And that is a personality change sufficient to overcome my addiction. And this personality change is manifests itself, comes out in the ability not to be tempted by that which we have abstained from. Not from being struck with God, although many people find that being struck with God does give them that. But what I came to this program for, and what has been given to me so freely by so many other people and by working the steps, is this neutrality, this sanity. We don't talk about that often enough in OA. We talk about all the wonderful spiritual things where somehow we divorce spiritual, emotional, and physical, and we often hear people say, well, I'm spiritually recovered, I'm emotionally recovered, and the physical will take care of itself, I am certain, one of these days. But why do we come to a 12-step program if we don't think that our problem is a life or death problem? That's one of the major definitions of why we come. We're the last house on the block. We're here for those people who can't stop once they've started and can't stop from starting. And what the 12 steps do for us is to allow us to stop from starting. We have to identify what it is we have to stop indulging in, and then we have to work the 12 steps in order to have this incredible experience of not wanting to start again. So what I know what my job is to carry that message to someone else. It is not to listen to the person talk about their problems, other than as part of working the steps. It is not to have regular meetings with that person, because that person has to work the steps. It's not up to me to work the steps, nor is it up to me to provide support to them. They can find support from all kinds of other people. My job is to give my experience, strength, and hope, to explain the 12 steps, to be there when they work it if they want me to be there, to be available to them. The big book says this. Having had the experience yourself, you can give him much advice. Tell him you're ready to be there when he makes his decision, which is step three, or to hear his story, which is step five. But if he wants to do it with someone else, that's up to him. I do not control my sponsees. As a matter of fact, I don't really know how many sponsees I have active right now, because I say to them, I'm here to make appointments with you to discuss the steps. And as far as I'm concerned, in an ideal situation, I would have them do some previous studying. If they're able to read, and to absorb things, I would have them read some stuff, and I would meet with them to clarify steps one, two, and three, any step one problems, any step two God issues. Let's make a decision. Let's explain what the big book means by selfish or self-willed. Let's explain what step four is all about. You want to make a step five with me? If you do, let's make an appointment right now. So you have to hang on for only so long until step five occurs. From the perspective that I have been taught about working the steps, step six, seven, and eight are done within a day of step five. And you're already halfway through step nine, because most of your recovery will come in the living amends that you will make. And you may have some apologies to make, you may have some restitution to make, but generally speaking, you have living amends to make, reactions to life, actions in life. And then I meet with them a third time. So I meet with them, and I may meet with them to discuss step eight and nine issues. Should I make an amends? What kind of amends should I make? And then I meet with them to talk about steps 10, 11, and 12, because that's what keeps you in recovery. Not going back to steps 1, 2, 9, but working steps 10, 11, and 12. As long as you understand something that I did not understand for 7 years, and that's one reason I relapsed, which is that step 10 is doing steps 4 through 9, which you did in steps 4 through 9 in the context of being recovered. And that's a very different thing. When you do steps 4 through 9, you haven't recovered yet. You get your recovery working steps 4 through 9. But step 10 is when you, already having recovered, have a past that has continued to need cleaning up and has a fears for the future and has all kinds of events that have happened that you have to deal with in the same way that you did in steps 4 through 9, but you do it in recovery. It's very different. And I talked to them about the importance of daily reflection on how I did today, what I'm going to do in the coming day, and the step 11 daily prayers that you say when you're agitated or doubtful. And then I talk about the absolute importance of finding pigeons, finding people to carry the message to. So at a minimum, I will meet with people 3 times. Once to discuss 1, 2, 3, 4, once to hear 5 and talk about 6, 7, and 8, and once to talk about 10, 11, and 12. And then I say to those people, you have recovered, assuming they have, and I have recovered. We waste our time talking to each other when there are people out there who need us. And those people need to hear the message of recovery through the 12 steps. And if you and I spend all of our time talking together, and if I have 5 other sponsees that I spend time talking together who have also recovered, then we're not available to carry the message to those who still suffer. We're talking between ourselves, recovered people talking. Why are we talking when there are people who are still suffering? So, if people, say, oh, well, when I'm sponsoring them, well, you don't know the trouble I've seen. I say, well, that's what step 4 is all about and step 5. And they say, oh, no, but you don't understand. This has been happening. That has happened. Let's say, that's what you put down in step 4. The only way I know how to handle any of the problems that arise in life is to work, if you are an addict, is steps 4 through 9. And it will do you no good to tell me these sad stories. Because my only answer to you is if you aren't working the steps, then you're living in the misery of your addiction. And that's your problem, not mine. I've recovered. And more than that, and what is most important is I am personally very humble about how privileged a life I have led and how little suffering I've had when compared to many of my friends in OA. So I can't say to them, as many of my friends in OA who have suffered horribly in their lives, I can't say to them directly, as many of my friends can say, I won't say it nicely, but there's a nice way of saying it. Don't live in your misery. I have lived through some really, really hard stuff, and I don't eat over it. And you don't have to eat over it if you work the steps. I can only say I have friends who have had those kinds of lives, and they don't eat over it, and you can be like them. So that's my general approach to sponsoring. I think what's important, just look at my time, but time has disappeared. I think I have another 7 minutes, 6 minutes. I think it's very important, however, no matter what my ideal is, to emphasize that every person has to be treated as individual, starting from what it is they have to abstain from. It is extremely important to emphasize that what I can eat, they might not be able to eat, what eating behaviors I cannot indulge in, they might be able to indulge in, that they must have a plan of eating that calls for how they have to abstain from that which causes them uncontrollable cravings. And if I try to impose my plan of eating over them, I am running contrary to the group conscience of OA, which specifically in our literature says everyone has to have their own plan of eating. I have a plan of eating which is different from all kinds of people I have sponsored. And that plan of eating is important for me to have for myself, and their plan of eating is important for them to have. Secondly, not everyone learns in the same way, not everyone reads in the same way, not everyone understands things in the same way, and therefore each person should be treated as an individual. And it is not that there's no cookie cutter way of working the steps with an individual. I do not schedule regular meetings to read a paragraph here or a paragraph there or in order or anything like that. It's important to work out what they and how they want to be taught and how they want to learn. And sometimes, I'm just now planning very shortly to meet with a person who has trouble writing and can't do step four the way that I know how to do step four. So I've agreed to meet with that person and to do a sort of a combined step four and five in order for them to feel more comfortable so that they can work the steps in a way that's completely different from the way I work them, but in a way that makes sense to them. I've also, although I like to have one basic step five meeting, I've agreed to have it over 2 or 3 weeks because that's what the person wants. Although I like to use the big book, if someone else wants to use another book and they felt that that resonated with them more, I would try them on that one because my job is to help them understand how to work the steps and not to impose any my view on them or to control them in any way. Thus, I have no responsibility for that person other than to do my best in explaining what I know and what my experience is. And I don't control them. And the more I control them, the more I remember what the big book says, wife or no wife, job or no job, we will not recover so long as we place our dependence upon other people instead of our dependence upon God. And there are too many sponsors around who have been taught to be controlling. You got to adopt my plan of eating, you got to adopt my way of doing things. Not my way, but the way I've been taught. Let's be fair. I'm not saying it's that they have developed it. It's the only rigid way, and you have to give up control, and I will replace it with the control that I've been taught you need. Well, not everyone's the same. As a matter of fact, we're all different, and we have to learn that. I think it's important as well, to emphasize the life or death nature of the addiction. It is very difficult in OA because we have a non-dramatic addiction. Unless we weigh 600 pounds or 40 pounds or whatever the thing, it's not dramatic. We die slowly of our addiction, and we're not going to eat a donut and suddenly walk into traffic and get killed. Because we're so distracted. I mean, yes, it's possible. I have people talked about eating in the car and, swerving off and things like that. But generally speaking, our illness is one of gradual deterioration of the body, more dependence upon other people, and a very isolated, often painful, and certainly pathetic death, and earlier than necessary. And we have to be persuaded that this is a life or death issue. We also have to be persuaded that it is more serious than of an addiction than needing 1 or 2 cups of coffee a day. It's like needing 20 cups of coffee a day. Little addictions are not serious, but major addictions are. Now we have to be persuaded of those things, but I don't have to persuade them. I just say, if you want to work the steps, you have to persuade yourself that this is life or death. So. This whole I'm sorry that the clock has disappeared, so I don't know what my time is like. I have 1 minute, so I will just at this point say it's a privilege, and I thank people for allowing me to sponsor them. I thank them from the bottom of my heart. The big book says so clearly, actually, they may be helping you more than you may be helping them, and I have to remember that. My job is to carry the message. My job is not to carry the person, and if they relapse, I don't say you got to read one paragraph a day and we'll discuss it for an hour. I say you must be even more serious than ever. You must be even more desperate than ever. Get abstinent, for a couple of days, and let's make an appointment for step five and get on to step four. Just get going. You have to work these steps quickly and hard, and I think that that's the best I can tell you. So I guess I'm finished now, and I'm open for any questions anyone has.